Hi, it's Allegra, and welcome to Small Steps, Big Magic. You can find more information about me and my podcast at AllegraLowenstein.com. Oh, and my books, which you should totally go and buy. And today's episode, you know I love to tell some long stories, and I want to start with this kind of big picture idea. And then, of course, always bring it back to small steps that you can start taking right away. And I want to start by first just saying, I am so excited. You know I record all of my podcasts out on my favorite trail, except my favorite trail has been closed for the vast majority of the past 6 weeks. So I haven't been able to record there. And I've also just been sad that I couldn't get out there. But we have had so much rain in Southern California, and our landscape is not prepared to take in this much rain at once. We've had, I don't know the total now, but we've had more than 10 inches. And I know if you live in a rainy place, you're laughing right now because that's not that much, but that's actually about our annual average. And we met that before the end of February this year. So that's pretty crazy for us. And we live, I know, once again, if you think of Southern California and LA and San Diego, you think of beaches and palm trees and you think it's tropical, but it's not. We're basically the desert by the sea. We get to live here because we bring water in from other places. And you should probably go find a podcast on that whole topic. Somebody else's podcast. It's a little bit disturbing to me on an existential level that there's not enough water for the people that live here. But I won't share my deepest fears, my apocalyptic fears with you, because I don't think that would be very uplifting. Instead, I just want to say that due to the fact that we're basically the desert by the sea, and also, of course, because we've piped water in from other states and north of our state, we have this huge population. We have a mild climate, of course, so people like it. We want to live here. We don't ever have to shovel snow, and that's very nice and easy to take for granted, I might add. And so, of course, we have urban sprawl also. And every time that you put concrete down, you take all the water that lands on that concrete in the rain, and you push all that water to the next place where it can go into the earth. And so for that reason as well, when it rains here, it's very hard for the earth to absorb it all. And that's a problem everywhere. That's why a lot of cities get floods, because there's too much concrete and then the earth can't do its job. Again, there's some excellent resources on that subject as well, which is worth looking into. I'm a big believer in smart urban planning as a solution to a lot of life's problems. A lot of the problems that human cause in the world is a better way to put that. So we get this rain. The earth can't absorb it. We've paved over. We're not used to this much rain. I'm very, very grateful for the rain. We have been in a drought in Southern California for, I don't know how many years, at least 5. So I'm very happy we have a snowpack this year. We've had the rain. The plants are so happy. And we're going to come back to that subject in a minute. Our reservoirs, not full yet. One good year didn't do it, but fuller than they were, that's for sure. And so I'm grateful. I'm really, really grateful that we've had all this rain. And my favorite trail has been closed for 6 weeks. I usually have this trail to myself, and you're going to hear other people walking by me because We're all totally have been freaking out that we haven't been able to go outside for 6 weeks. It, here, we're so used to it. We don't have places to be inside. I mean, we have our houses, but if you're thinking like, oh, I want to go do something with my family, there's like literally nowhere outdoors. I mean, nowhere indoors. Everything is outdoors. Restaurants all have big patios. The malls don't have roofs. Like, we're used to being able to be outside. And I will note, we pay. We pay plenty to be able to go outside with the cost of housing here. So, we've all been cooped up. We've all been freaking out. And now we're all outside enjoying it. And this is bringing back, as always, ultimately to my takeaway points. The other amazing thing that has been happening this year, like in the past 2 weeks, is that we have what's called a super bloom. And it's when you get a ridiculous amount of rain, all the seeds get wet and saturated, the earth stays wet, so they stay alive, and then the sun comes out and all of these flowers bloom. I mean, just type it in, Southern California super bloom, into a search. It's mind-blowing. And living within an hour's drive of two of the largest cities in our country, the people are flocking out to see these fields of wildflowers. And that's two, I have a lot of ambivalence, right? I have a twofold reaction to this. On the one hand, I'm kind of like, great, there's so many dumbasses in the world, and there's already pictures of this. They're like marching out into the fields and leaving these destroyed trails to go get an Instagram photo. And at the same time, I'm like, this is awesome. People still care. People still want to connect with nature. And I think back to the solar eclipse last year, 2 years ago? I don't remember, something like a year to a year and a half ago. And everybody was flipping out. And I really think it's because we have so much crazy drama in the world right now and stress in our individual lives that we are literally just waiting for a chance to feel insignificant, right? To go out and be like, look at all these flowers. No matter what happens to us as stupid humans, the world is going to be okay, right? The world goes on. The world is so powerful and so amazing. And nature is just awesome. I mean, truly, the actual meaning of the word awesome, awe-inspiring. It's the world, right? The world around us, the cycle of life, that plants bloom from seeds, that something comes from nothing. It's really, really deeply inspiring. And it happens to be one of my 13 pillars of health. I call it flowers because they all start with F. And because flowers are one of my favorite parts of nature. And flowers are inspiring, and a lot of people can get excited about flowers. So, the bigger concept, it's not just flowers, right? It's nature, really. It's time in nature or time with nature. And I got reminded today that I'm kind of a hippie. I forget that not everybody is. My mission is to make everybody at least 25% hippie. The nature-loving, nature-awe-inspiring part of hippiedom. And the healthy eating part. Right? Like, you don't have to wear patchouli. Or listen to certain kind of music. You don't have to listen to hippie music. But eating healthy and appreciating nature are really good for us, right? So, of course, food is one of the pillars of health. That's the other, that's the F word, food. But today we're focusing on flowers. And I was reminded when I was talking to a neighbor, and she was saying how she goes walking at this park, but that it's really boring. And I said, oh, well, you know, there's a trail right behind your house, because she lives kind of in between me and the park. And I said, you know, there's a trail right behind your house. I walk down there all the time. And she said, oh, I went one time and I saw a rattlesnake and I never went again. And I was like, I go all the time. And she said, well, you know, I usually go walking by myself. I said, I walk by myself all the time. And so, you know, I wasn't trying to pressure her or be mean. I just truly forget sometimes that we, in general, are so disconnected from nature. We're afraid of it. And guess what? We're actually hardwired to be afraid of nature, because we had to be. We're hardwired to be afraid of snakes because we had to be. Snakes and spiders used to be like a legit way that people died on a regular basis when we lived all on farms and we didn't have anti-venom and we didn't have 911. But we don't live on farms. There is not a place in our country. What was the number? I just read this the other day. There's literally not a place in our country, the United States, that's more, I think it was like 21 or 22 miles. That's more than whatever it was. So let's just say 22, more than 22 miles from a road. That's mind blowing. I mean, you think about the open space, you know, I'm out west. We think we have these huge natural parks, you know, national parks and protected lands. And even within those, 22 miles from a road at any given time. So to me, right, as like hippie environmentalist woman, I'm sad. But to anybody else, that could actually be really, really assuring. You can go hiking. You're going to be fine. We all have cell phones. And the trails that we were talking about, me and my neighbor, it's literally in the middle of the city. Because one awesome thing about San Diego is they protected all the canyons. And so they're not built up. And so there's trails that cut through neighborhoods because of the canyons. And, okay, my conversation with my neighbor moved on. I don't really remember how I ended it. I just think it naturally changed topics. It impacted me, though, right? Because I forget that people really are still afraid of nature, and for good reason. Like I said, because in our genetics, you know, our genetics don't know about 911 and anti-venom and the fact that we're never 22 miles from a road. Our genetics are like, snake, be afraid. Spider, be afraid. Dark in the woods at night, be afraid. But we can coach ourselves through that. We can convince ourselves that it's actually okay to be out in nature, even though there are snakes and spiders, because they really don't want anything to do with us. They're trying to get away from us, and they only attack if they feel threatened. So if you're watching, if you're staying on a trail and you're looking ahead on the trail, you're gonna see a snake before you get to it, and you're gonna be okay. So we can rationalize our way. And the benefit of this is that, and this is not hippie woo-woo, this is science. Being in a forest, like, I don't know if they have figured out exactly what compounds are doing it, but it's been studied. Being in trees, it's called forest bathing. Being in trees, it lowers your blood pressure. It lowers like certain proteins that indicate like an immune response. It reduces inflammation. Like, it has all these real biological effects that are really, really, really good for us. And I'm all about mindfulness. Okay, I will tell you a secret. I almost never meditate in the way that we're taught is what meditation is. Because there are a million ways to be mindful, and you only need one of them. And mindfulness doesn't start with an F, so it is not even in my pillars of health. Because we can reach mindfulness through other means. Being in the woods, being out there with the flowers, that's going to build up mindfulness for you. Every time you stop and look at a branch or, you know, smell a flower, you're being mindful. You're being in the moment. You look at, you know, a leaf that fell on the ground that's an interesting color. You're being mindful. And so I know my last podcast was basically also about being out in nature because it was a long, hard winter. Okay, physically, around our country, the North American continent, I know, extreme storms, right? I mean, this is climate change. Extreme storms, extreme ice. It was kind of good for us in Southern California because we needed water, but it still was extreme, right? It's not really normal. It's not like we went from drought to normal. We went, as climate change will do, we went from one extreme to the other. And so it's just really good to find ways to connect and ground ourselves. And in addition to being physically a hard winter in the world and in the climate, and, you know, I'm sorry to say we have to expect more of those, it was also what I like to call a hard winter of the soul. Our world is like loco. It is so cuckoo right now. I mean, I don't even have words because there is just so much insanity going on at the high levels of national politics in particular. And in general, you know, people are just stressed. That's been going on for a while. I'm going to blame the advent of the smartphone for a drastic decline in our quality of life. They're powerful tools. I don't think we know how to put them to use yet. We're kind of abusing them so far. Or we're not really abusing them. We kind of are, but it's just because we don't have intentionality around what to do with them and how to use them only for our benefit. Like so many things, right? We're humans. This is what we do. We like lose control and want to go crazy and be extreme. And then we're like, okay, we need to find a better way. A little more moderation and balance. So, an antidote to the screen is to be in nature. An antidote to the stress is to be in nature. An antidote to the crazy news is to be in nature. And guess what? You don't have to go out into the woods or even on a trail. The major idea that I wanted to put out in today's podcast, you're going to be so surprised because you're like, why did you talk all about nature all this time? Because it is nature. But the real idea, and now I'm walking over a stream. It's like the perfect, beautiful, calm moment to change gears and to give you the idea of taking a picnic. Yes, that's right. Take a picnic. Because I get it that it can not be so inspiring to like go walk in circles around the edge of a park. I totally get that. I would never do that. That's why I have my little nature loop that I do. It's one loop. I wouldn't walk around four times a loop. Not at once. And yeah, a picnic is the perfect antidote to this, because you gotta do it with a friend. I mean, you can have a picnic by yourself, but maybe for some of you, like more introverts, it could actually be perfect. I'm the extrovert, so for me, I'm like, gotta get with a friend, gotta call a friend, meet up, and it's literally like, you don't have to make it complicated, you know? You don't have to make little sandwiches and cut the edges off and wrap them up. You can just bring, like, well, I do really like to bring real things to eat them with, like real utensils, real plates, real bowls to hold things in. But it could be a little snacky picnic. It doesn't have to be a full meal, a little afternoon tete-a-tete with a friend and some snacks while you get together. It could be a meal. People generally tend to be more laid back about what they eat at lunchtime. So you could do like chips and hummus and veggies, and don't forget jarred, okay? Look, I love to eat fresh stuff. It's important to eat fresh stuff. But we're busy and we're rushed also, and it's fine to eat jarred stuff. And there's so many good things that are still healthy, like olives. Think Mediterranean, right? The Mediterranean, they make like the perfect picnic fare. Grilled, okay. There's this amazing product that I love. It's a grilled marinated artichoke. So they grill the artichoke and then they marinate it. That might not be available everywhere, but you can get marinated artichokes. You can get sun-dried tomatoes. There's lots of, you know, from like all over the Mediterranean, Italy, Greece, up to like Croatia. They'll do like peppers, like pickled peppers actually, but also just jarred and marinated. They'll do like jarred eggplant. You can get dolmas actually in a can. And like, no, they're not gonna be the freshest, most amazing things, but for a quick picnic, I mean, it's totally fun and easy. You bring some slices of lemon to like jazz things up and freshen up the taste. It's the perfect thing to eat for a picnic and for a quick picnic. Finger food, a good loaf of crusty bread from a nice bakery. Okay, don't buy the crap from like the regular grocery stores because it's all made with chemicals. You gotta get real bakery bread. And cheese, some nice cheese. I mean, my God, like I'm ready to go have a picnic now. Champagne. Okay, a picnic with champagne, that's like my idea of heaven. And it's just such a nice and easy way to be outdoors, to be enjoying the perfect spring weather, and to still feel really safe and comfortable and not be pushing your boundaries or comfort zone too much if you're not already a nature person that's wanting to go hiking in the woods by yourself. So I know I'm out now and there's wind, so I apologize for that. It's just the risk of being an outdoors girl. I just want to wrap up all of this to say, look, we're humans. We're kind of crazy. We're living absolutely in a crazy time. It's very easy to get stressed out and anxious, and I am sympathetic to that. And there are times I get caught up into that mode as well. And there are remedies available to us literally in your own body, in your immediate environment, with immediate access that takes minimal money and minimal planning. And that is what my program is all about, is to grasp these simple pleasures, to embrace these simple pleasures that will transform your life when you start doing them on a regular basis. Just as the name implies, small steps add up to big magic. It is all about crafting a life that sparkles so that you can sparkle too. If you enjoyed this, go ahead and share it with a friend or head back to AllegraLowenstein.com and leave a comment. I always love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts and hope to see you around.